time on episode 207 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. We talk Inhumans, Divide and Conquer. We talk weekly Marvel news, and we talk your feedback.
I'm Asmodeus, from the Strange and Unusual podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show is recorded on Sunday, October 8th, 2017, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast galactic-wide via www.geeks.live. Ladies, happy International Octopus Day!
Woo! By the way, the correct plural of octopus is octopod or octopode. Octopodes. Octopods. Octopodes.
And apparently, according to pre-show conversation, this day kicks off International Cephalopod Awareness Day.
Cephalopod.
I knew I was going to say that wrong.
So yes, it's a week to be aware of all octopodes, squids, nudibranches, cuttlefish, etc. All wonderful creatures.
Can you cuddle with cuttlefish?
I would.
Okay. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Inhumans, Marvel's Defenders on Netflix, Legion on FX, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of stylish new jackets.
If you'd like to talk to us about stylish new jackets, find us at our website, legendsofshield.com.
You can leave us a message about your new jacket on our voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1. 844-843-2871.
You can talk to everyone but Star Pie at our Facebook page, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can talk to all of us, including Star Pie, at our Twitter, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And if you have a video of yourself in your new jacket, you can post it to our YouTube, www.youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
You might have noticed we're a foursome again tonight. Consultant Michelle has graciously agreed to join us for this much better episode of Inhumans. Thank you very much for joining us, Michelle.
Oh, happy as always.
We're happy to have you. And talking about the great Inhumans Divide and Conquer episode, that's the title, Divide and Conquer. Michelle, since you're our guest, why don't you take a stab at the meaning behind the title?
Well, probably because Maximus has successfully divided up the royal family and is in process of conquering Atalan for reasons I'm sure we'll discover as we talk about the episode. I still have questions about what his motives are. But, you know, Black Bolt's in jail and Medusa's shopping at somebody's house. But, you know, that's probably what it's going on here, dividing the team up and conquering Atalan.
It's all about conquering the base on the moon. Haley, who directed this episode?
This episode was directed by Chris Fisher, who has 18 credits starting in 2002, including an episode of Chuck, 8 episodes of Cold Case, 2 of Eureka, 2 of Hawaii Five-O, 10 of Warehouse 13, 1 of The Bridge, 1 of Supergirl, 17 of Person of Interest, 5 of The Magicians, and this episode of Inhumans.
I'm definitely getting a vibe from Black Bolt that he could have starred in Person of Interest as well, the man in the suit.
Yeah, he looks an uncanny amount, especially in this role, like Jim Caviezel.
He does. I think either one could have done either role.
It's like the Elijah Wood, Daniel Radcliffe thing. And the episode was written by Rick Cleveland, who has 17 writing credits going back to 1998, including the screenplay for Runaway Jury, one episode of The West Wing that he wrote and one that he is credited as story by, 8 episodes of 6 Feet Under, 1 episode of Mad Men, 4 episodes of Nurse Jackie, 2 of Scoundrels, 2 of House of Cards, 12 episodes of Legit, 1 episode of Archer, and it's actually one of my favorites, Sea Tunt Part 2, 1 episode of Under the Dome, 2 episodes of The Man in the High Castle, and this episode of The Inhumans.
So we were talking before the show that each of us thought that this was a step up from the pilot 2 episodes, and I can't help but think that this director and this writer, with their massive credits behind them of good series and good shows, had something to do with it.
Yeah, I really, really think that helped. I mean, for one, it's people who actually work in TV. We saw last week that the guy who did it, he does movies, but it's a different beast, really. Sometimes you'll get directors who can do both. And yeah, it also helps that it's almost no exposition. It's just, okay, here's the fallout and we're going forward now.
Yeah, there was a little bit of exposition at the start with Declan because that was brand new in this particular episode. But aside from that, it was all known quantities. Haley, you like this episode better than the first two, right?
Significantly. So much better.
And Michelle, same with you?
Yes, this one had moments of levity. Medusa at the ATM, for example. And because like we got to see them interact with just regular humans and such, it allowed us to actually get to know them as characters instead of, I don't know, they felt like cardboard cutouts in the first two episodes. And this one, they actually felt, well, okay, not like humans because they love being in humans, but actual characters.
So two things about that. First of all, when Medusa's talking to the ATM, was anybody else going, computer?
Yes, that's exactly yes. What I was from Star Trek IV.
And the other thing was, this was more of what I was hoping for when I first saw all those images of them in Hawaii, the fish out of water thing, because that's a trope that I love.
What I kind of wonder is, the first two episodes had to be ready probably a lot earlier for their theatrical release. So I wonder if those ones were rushed a lot more to get them done. And then 3 through 8, they had time to go back and do rewrites and take a little more time in getting the takes they needed on every shot and all that kind of stuff. So I'm hoping that going forward, they'll be better. And it's just unfortunate that they decided to do the theatrical release thing.
Yeah, I can see that. Again, Marvel, if you would just take your time and let things breathe instead of trying to rush them out. It's like there's a bunch of video games where it's like this, where it's like, we need it out by this time. So instead of actually waiting and setting the development time and getting a good game, they'll come out with something unfinished and buggy as hell. And it's really unsatisfying. I mean, we'll wait. We're fans. We will wait for a good product.
So question, Medusa doesn't know what an ATM is or how to operate it, but she knows what a taxi cab is.
Well, it did say we'll take you anywhere.
So at least she can read English.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's never explained, but
they've been observing Earth, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I do have an issue, though, with the break-in. Oh, there's a lot of issues with the break-in. One issue with the break-in that I want to bring up is newspapers. Really? A person in that type of home does not get newspapers anymore. They have a tablet.
Maybe they're old school. Maybe they're hipsters and they like that whole newspaper. They probably still buy books. They probably, you know, have all those, you know, records and vinyl and everything. So maybe that's the type of people who live there.
Yeah, like to support local businesses, which granted I would kind of more expect with the middle to lower class, but there is also the upper class, some more of that, oh, I can afford to do this. But there's an awareness when you're closer to the people who are actually doing the producing of people need this.
And then if I own a home in a place like Royal Place Estates and I'm driving away, I'm noticing the woman dressed in the purple that's behind me that's running into my driveway through my rearview mirror. Just saying.
Okay, so I'm correct in, if I'm remembering right, this place is up near Diamond Head, right?
I actually don't know where specifically it is, but that wouldn't surprise me to be on the east end of the island.
Okay, that is a long walk from downtown Honolulu.
It is.
So she's been walking for a while. She's, yeah.
And I believe the only way to get from the downtown Honolulu on the other side of Diamondback is to go on the highway there. I could be mistaken.
Yeah. No, if I remember right.
I feel like they're doing a Chicago with this. I used to live in Chicago. And so when you see things set in Chicago, it's like, no, that's a West Side suburb. You cannot take that and then all of a sudden end up in like the Rogers Park part of Chicago. No, you can't. No. So I kind of feel like that's what they're doing here, because I'm sure people who have been to Hawaii and everybody living in Hawaii going, you cannot walk from that beach to that part. And no, there's a highway and there's everything. No.
It was nice, though, to see places that I recognize. I've only been there the one time, but it made a huge impression. And it was really nice just seeing those places. And my husband was watching part of it with me while we were eating breakfast. And he's like, oh, I know where that is. I know where that is.
And I know a lot of other people watching this are like, whoa, you're in a gated community and you don't have a security system within your home. Well, yes, I get that. However, a lot of people might not realize that the architecture in Hawaii is a lot of openness. So you don't have enclosed structures all the time. And this could be one of those structures where she could literally just walk right in.
Also, this is how you could tell that this is a really, really expensive house. It's huge. Because everything has to be flown in, the building stuff has to be flown into Hawaii. Like, just watch like House Hunters Hawaii. Even the really small houses are super expensive. So this is like a multi-million dollar house.
Indeed. To give you an idea of, and everything might not have to be flown in, but it's definitely shipped in.
Shipped in. Shipped in is what I meant. Sorry.
Limited to the island. So if you move to Hawaii and you have a car and you buy a new car, you actually have to present a plan. And I've never gone through this process myself, but I've heard about it. You actually have to go through you have to submit a plan on what you plan to do with your old car if you don't trade it in, because there's not room for junkyards there. And there's not room, quite frankly, for cars on blocks anywhere either. So you have to actually get rid of the vehicle or have a plan to get rid of the vehicle, or maybe giving it to another driver or whatever. So there's a plan has to go through that. Hawaii living, I'm sure somebody will correct me on it. We used to have a listener from Hawaii, and if he's still listening, I'm sure that he will correct us.
Yeah, if you're still listening, we'd love to hear from you.
Indeed.
But yeah, after Medusa goes in and like Goldilocks and the Three Bears is that house, we cut to Gorgon hanging out with the surfers, who we find out are Hawaiian separatists, and at least some of them are former military. I was kind of hyped up to find out that they were Hawaiian separatists. Again, I've done a lot of reading about Hawaii, and the acquisition of Hawaii by the U.S. was done in a really, really shady manner. So it's no wonder that there are a lot of Hawaiian separatists. And in fact, I got to go to a Hawaiian separatist village when I was on the Big Island. And me and my husband almost got into a fight with this older Midwestern couple who were trying to pick a fight with our tour guide. But, you know, they have that connection to, they're both monarchists. And they see this takeover as an unjust event. So good on the writers for having that connection.
Yeah, I'm fighting for your king because I can't fight for my king, sort of thing. It was actually a unique rebellish sort of way. And there is that mentality in the entire Polynesian area, actually, because they've all been colonized in one shape, manner, or form. And it's part of history, and if you don't know about it, you should probably look it up, because it is an important part of the South Pacific and the way even World War II ran as well. Now, Gorgon's fight, battle, whatever you want to call it, it was interesting because we see exactly what his powers can do and what he's facing. And let's just bring in Mortis right now because he's the new Inhuman on the block. Mortis? Cyclops? What exactly is this guy?
Funny. I dig him. Haley, Michelle, y'all, we were talking about it before the show.
Well, when I saw him the first time, I was like, lame Bioshock cosplay. But his attitude makes up for his, you know, unoriginal look. You know what gets me is talking about Gorgon. He was the leader of, like, the guards and everything, and it's really interesting how easily they just abandoned Gorgon. And it makes me wonder also just type of what a leader of Black Bolt was, because Black Bolt basically imprisons Mortis and Maximus, you know, it's given him freedom. And Mortis, they call him Death because when he lifts his lid, it's like energy. So I wonder what, like, do we think he's just sort of like pure energy and he's just poured into that suit? Or.
So less like Cyclops and more like Zorn from the comics then.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking, because he lifted up his entire face thing and it shot out a pure beam, face size. So I'm sort of wondering if that's what he is, because, you know, like how we have the wall guy. So I'm sort of wondering if this is kind of like the same thing. It's just, but he's like poured into like this bodysuit.
I was disappointed that we didn't actually see Eldrick this time around. He's the wall guy that transports people and had transported Auron into the actual wall. That was funny last time. And so he didn't play any games this time around. I guess they might have threatened him with, you know, actually a sledgehammer to his family or something like that. I don't know. Assuming his family is also walls, which I guess is a bad assumption because Inhumans are all sorts of different things. So, okay. But yeah. I like the idea of Mortis being an energy. I didn't think about that because his entire clothing is basically meant to enclose him all the way around. So I can see that. Interesting. Haley, what do you think about Mortis?
Well, I believe we were talking before the show and I said, bring out the GIMP.
For anyone who has seen Pulp Fiction, you know what we're talking about.
So Karnak, he is still lost his compass, and fortunately, he's done walking around in circles, but he does see a kind of hut out in the woods, and he approaches it, and it turns out he finds himself in the middle of an illegal grow operation.
So this is probably my favorite part of the episode. Like, Karnak is, I think, my favorite character on the show so far. I mentioned before I like the actor. So he shows up on this shack and I'm like, is that weed? And yeah, we find out it's a grow operation.
It's a lot of weed.
It's like an acre of weed. And the people that are running it, they're freaked out because they're like, oh my God, he's going to rat on us. We should kill him. And some of them are like, are you kidding? We shouldn't kill him. And Karnak, while he's tied up, he's like, okay, I have a plan. If I kick this one spot on the table, it's going to knock the building down on him. And when the guy's like, we should kill him, he's like, oh God. So he kicks it and like nothing happens. And I was like, what'd you do that for?
Well, you did just threaten to kill him. So,
So with them talking and them asking the girl there asking him about his tattoos. And he's like, well, when I was a teenager, I decided to do this. And I'm like, of course you did. This is why if you decide as a teenager to get a tattoo, just wait on it for like a decade, because I can guarantee you, you're going to regret it. Especially if you get it on your face.
I guess it's fine up in Adelan because they're all there. There's 1,400 of them and they're not really going anywhere. So it's fine up there.
I have so much to say about that 1,400 comment. But yeah, Hintaki's like, I don't know what's going on. I was really hoping, and then my husband said it too, that she was just like, I know, hey, you got to calm down. And then just like hand him a joint. I really want to see Karnak high. Like, you have no idea how much I want to see Karnak high.
Those straight lines that he's envisioning, not so straight.
So is it just because he has a concussion?
I don't know. Maybe. Scott was like, it's because he's not used to the moon. So
it's too much gravity.
I don't know if he was joking or if that's his actual theory. I think it's the concussion. But then again, wasn't it happening before he hit his head?
Well, he tried to climb down the mountain, but we never saw him try to...
Really? He fell down the mountain, and that doesn't seem like something he should have done before the concussion either. Like, that's something he should have been able to avoid.
Yeah. It seems like he doesn't actively have to use his powers because of that whole conversation about, you know, the, oh, if I hit on this girl, blah, blah, blah. But then at the same time, we see him actively using his powers. So are they...
It's inconsistent writing.
Well, I don't know if it's inconsistent or if he just... I don't know. But whatever the reason is it the concussion? Is it not? Is it Earth's gravity? Is it...
Transporter malfunction?
Yeah, I don't know. It, like, a neuron got phased into the wrong place. I don't know.
I wouldn't put that out of place because Lockjaw was less than precise when he was bringing people back and forth. So just keep that in mind, I guess. Crystal finally gets away, and I had issues with Maximus actually thinking he was winning in this entire argument with Crystal. I mean, did he really think he was bending her over?
Phrasing?
To his side.
Well, he said that Maximus, like, his parents killed her parents because her parents didn't like what Black Bolt's family was doing. So I would imagine, you know, being reminded of that, I could see Crystal possibly, you know, seeing Maximus's point of view.
Yeah, I think he thought that playing to that would get her on his side. And he obviously is calculated. But again, threatening her and threatening the dog, not the way to do it. This was another one of those things where it's like Maximus, he's like, yeah, we need to remove the caste system. And it's like, yeah, seriously. But then he threatens Crystal and he threatens Lockjaw. And it's like,
here's my main problem with this scenario. Maximus is not in complete control. And he's there in front of the genetic council trying to convince them that he should be king. And so he brings out Crystal. Why didn't Crystal just say to the genetic council, go, Maximus has separated everybody and he's the one that's trying to take over? Like, why didn't she do that?
Because it's not dramatic enough. I don't know.
Because if Maximus ordered the guards to kill Crystal, the genetic council would have been like, oh my gosh, Maximus, you are evil. I just don't understand why Crystal ran.
I don't know. I think he's got enough muscle on his side that he can keep everyone else in line for the time being.
And I also think she wanted to join her sister and the family. I think she wanted to be part of that rather than work on the inside. I think she felt a little bit overwhelmed by the situation.
Okay.
It's the best explanation I can come up with, which is stretching, admittedly. We did get to see the flashback of the brothers growing up, and I would imagine right around the time that they went through Terrigenesis as well. We didn't actually see their Terrigenesis, so it was hard to see exactly where they were, but it was seemed to me like before they went through Terrigenesis and then after they went through Terrigenesis, but we didn't see the middle. And it was interesting, and we were talking about this before, we were scratching our heads on what exactly Maximus's Terrigenesis was. And I think his Terrigenesis was to become human?
Yeah, we were talking about this. His Terrigenesis was literally everything in human, in his DNA, was removed. So he's just a normal human.
Right. So even the people that go through Terrigenesis on the moon, if they don't get powers, they're still inhumans, except for Maximus.
Yeah.
But I guess because there's a lot of people up on the moon that are not inhumans because of the caste system and then working down in the mines.
They're still inhumans. They're just not, they don't have powers.
Okay.
That's the distinction.
Yeah. It's like they have recessive genes.
Okay.
Instead of being dominant and therefore presenting.
It sounded like from the genetic council's explanation to Maximus is that he was actually turned into a human, that no inhuman was left of him.
Right.
Yeah.
After he went through teragenesis, it changed him on a cellular level.
Yeah. Instead of, you know, the whole dominant recessive inhuman gene, the inhuman genes were just removed. Like, period. There's no dominant, there's no recessive. They're just gone.
Because I think because there's such a small population that eventually it's kind of weird. Because there's such a small population, things are going to start happening, right? Like, certain things.
I assume that's part of what the genetic council does as well, is to try and avoid that kind of thing.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit last week. So 1,400 people is a really, really small population. So every time somebody refers to someone else as their cousin, I'm like, well, of course they're cousins. Everybody here is related. It's an entire moon full of related people who are all breeding. You're going to get some weird genetics there.
Also, have we been told how long they've been on the moon?
It seems like quite some time. Here's the thing, like if you study especially European royal ancestry, when they started, because they, you know, purity of the line and these married cousins and stuff, genetic abnormalities will happen if you inbreed too much. So perhaps the weakening of the inhuman gene is their chromosomal abnormality that's happening from all the inbreeding.
Yeah. By the way, for humans, apparently the minimum viable population is reported to be about 4,169 individuals.
About.
So, yeah, about. That's according to these websites that I'm looking at, including the desire to ward off genetic defects due to inbreeding. So this is a super inbred population.
Well, we're all children of Hera. Battlestar Galactica, so.
Well, yeah, but we're, okay, for Battlestar Galactica, they interbred with the
native human population.
Native human population. So they already got some hybrid vigor going on there. And then plus we're assuming the native human population is more than about 4,000. Plus the people,
there were 50,000 of them on the show. Well, like 47,000 by the end.
Yeah.
43,000.
So they are above the minimum viable.
Okay.
Yeah. But this is a super inbred community.
14,000 or 1,400 over at least hundreds, if not thousands of years. But they had minimum resources. And it gets back to the digging in the tunnels. I always took it as they were trying to expand their sphere, their little city, and get more resources to enhance their population. But
I wonder what they're eating. Like, are they just doing, the word. Like when you have greenhouses.
Hydroponic?
Yeah, hydroponics.
Yeah, is that all they have is what they can grow? And so their population is limited by how much space they have to do that in?
I presume so, because when they get to Earth and they're going through the forest there, that one inhuman, the very creatively named Flora, who can control plants, says, oh, I've never seen so many plants.
Yeah, they do have plants, because like in the last two episodes, like when you see the bigger city, you see, I guess their dome allows for clouds, or I don't know if those are actual clouds or if there's just projected clouds to make people feel like there's a sky. I'm not sure how their dome works. But yeah, because that goes back to the fundamental, I guess, first conflict. Black Bolt wanted to bring the Inhumans from Earth onto the moon, and Maximus was like, we have limited resources. We don't have enough for us ourselves, and that's why we should go to Earth. So they've got to be running out of either water or food or space or something.
I was thinking that if they did indeed have hydroponic capabilities, that Karnak wouldn't have been so surprised to see the grow operation.
I think it was less he was surprised to see the grow operation and more he was just surprised to see people.
Small island. He doesn't know that, though.
Yeah.
And his compass is broken. So let's move on to Louise. She is the, the Callisto aerospace employee?
Yeah, basically, I always blank out on this. The name of that company right now that wants to build the inflatable moon habitation?
Bigelow Aerospace.
Bigelow. Yes, thank you. She's basically working for Bigelow.
But not anymore. Or maybe she's on vacation. It's hard to tell what exactly was going on if she got fired.
She's on leave.
Well, she left, that's for sure.
No. They had a conversation. She took some leave.
I don't think she ever intended on coming back. But that's beside the point. She's on the island right now, and she's trying to figure out how to get to Black Bolt, because Black Bolt is the visible thing to her of the phenomenon that have happened over the moon and the Earth in terms of the transport. And somebody stepped in front of the car to begin with, their little toy moon car that they had. And she ends up being integrated with the plot by being taken at gunpoint?
Yes.
Yeah.
Poor Louise. She just wants to meet an Inhuman. She gets a gun pointed at her by the Queen.
She did meet an Inhuman.
And this is after Black Bolt, because Black Bolt's in jail, and he meets, I don't know the guy's name, I call him Lava Hands, and this guy named Declan organizes their escape.
I don't know if he organizes the... Well, that's a good point. He might have. Yeah. Well, I mean, he took a helicopter into the correctional facility. Like, that's not a big problem.
Yeah, we see at the beginning of the episode, he gets a hold of this guy and tells him, I know how you got in there. I can help you get out. And I was thinking, okay, this guy's an Inhuman. And I was right. So he arranges for Black Bolt to be put in his cell. Because the jail guard's like, oh, this guy hurt a cop, blah, blah, blah. Not thinking that, hey, maybe the guys in the prison will be kind of sympathetic because cops put them in jail. So he goes in the cell. The guy's like, hey, you're an Inhuman too. Or you're an Inhuman. And they kind of get something working out with understanding because Black Bolt's like, I can't talk. By the way, when they're playing chess in the scene where the guard comes in and he's mad because the guy hasn't beat the crap out of Black Bolt, did you notice that they've like barely just started playing? Like the pieces have barely moved around and Black Bolt moves a pawn?
No,
but anyway, so they take him out to the yard and then everyone's, again, happy that he...
You're the dude that beat up the cops! Yeah!
Yeah, because, again... If they wanted them to beat him up, they should have lied and said that he, like, you know, hit a kid or something. It's very well known that child abusers and child murderers and all that are not well liked in jail.
Instead, he gets a fist bump.
Yes, instead he gets a fist bump. And then there's a prison riot because the cops are, like, hitting him. And then Black Bolt steals the cop's baton. And everyone's like, yeah! Fight! And then, of course, Lava Hands busts them out. We find out, yes, he is an Inhuman. We find out his backstory. And Declan comes in and flies them away.
Yeah, this is not the most securely watched prison. If a helicopter can just come in, and Medusa just decked a guard and then ends up in the courtyard or something. Not
well, this is a correctional facility. It's not a state penitentiary. And it's not a military installation either. So I can actually see this happening, but I don't think this was the actual correctional facility on the island. I think it was a set probably back in LA.
Did they split their production like that?
No, you're right. I think it was all in Hawaii. You're right about that. But it wasn't the correctional facility. I mean, you never saw the whole thing, so.
Right. Well, I assume they have sets in Hawaii somewhere.
Not a lot of space on that island. They probably just choose to shoot at different places. Like the big hangar that was where the Inhumans transported down to. I find it hard to believe that there's any big hangar just vacant down there.
There's a... we went on a tour to... I'm trying to remember. It was like a flight museum type thing. And they had some big hangars, and I think they might have been able to probably rent one for like a day or something.
You're talking about the stuff over on Ford Island?
I don't know. I don't remember where it was.
Yeah, because that's a military installation, so.
I don't think it was military. It was like, I don't know.
Okay.
It's been a couple of years.
Anyway, we moved on, and Crystal transports onto the island with her sleepy dog, who's been drugged. Oh, poor Lockjaw. And then he's hit by an ATV. There's your shoot the dog moment. Oh my God.
You just can't win. You don't hurt dogs. Oh, by the way, when they say there is no such thing as a cow dog, they are false. Cow dogs are a real thing. They herd cattle. Now, if they had said dog cows, I would have agreed.
That sounds like something you would see in, like, the Avatar universe.
Yeah.
Not the James Cameron Avatar, like, Legend of Korra, Last Airbender.
Yeah. Yes. Like, with platypus bears and...
But they're normal-sized dogs. They're not dogs the size of a truck.
But they are called cow dogs. In fact, when I was a kid, I was in love with a book series called Hank the Cow Dog.
There you go. But threatening Lockjaw is the only thing that Maximus has really done to indicate to us that he is, in fact, the evil bad guy of the show.
Yeah, I'm betting it's going to turn out that the whole reason he wants to go to Earth is because they found out, oh, there's Inhumans on Earth, which we know because Triton is trying to get one at the beginning. So he's like, okay, wipe out all the Inhumans there and then go to Earth and, like, be king or whatever.
Good point. Triton is still hurt somewhere. We haven't seen the bodies, so I'm not going to say he's dead.
He's a fish person. I bet he's living in freaking Atlantis or somewhere.
Yeah, he's hanging out with Namor.
Yeah, they're both just like shirtless and drinking Mai Tais.
Underwater?
Yeah, they could have like a little air bubble city like the Gungans in episode one.
Oh, okay. So they're not like literally drinking a Mai Tai in the bottom of the
or
sea.
Or it could be like a Capri Sun sippy pouch.
Not as satisfactory. Done that one before.
Capri Sun Mai Tais.
Why hasn't anyone done this?
They totally make those now.
They do?
They do. Yeah.
Oh my God, I need them.
Yeah, Bud Light makes like a margarita pouch.
No way.
I see. Haley coming in with the drinking history.
It's for like people that go on things like float trips and stuff.
Yeah, or if you go to the beach and they're like no glass containers and stuff, which they also make rubber and plastic wine bottles for that reason.
Or if you find yourself in space.
Because we live in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the future is amazing. You can get drunk with plastic.
Why watching Inhumans?
They should put that in those plastics commercials they do, like where they show like all this medical technology and stuff. It should just be like people getting hammered on a river somewhere.
Yeah, people on a float just chugging out of their plastic flasks.
I thought that was Wally.
Or summer in Texas on the Guadalupe.
There's water in the Guadalupe in the summer in Texas?
Yeah, it's, I mean, usually.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever been on, well, I've been on one float trip where I didn't have to carry the boat at some point. And that's because the river was flooded during that float trip.
Minnesota land at 10,000 lakes. We don't need to carry our boats. Unless you're up at the Boundary Water Canoe area, then you got to portage quite a bit. Anyway, that was the episode. Last thoughts, Michelle?
It was better. I laughed at some points. Karnak and Lockjaw, all my favorites. I'm really not rooting for either Maximus or Blackboat right now. I just want Karnak and Lockjaw to be safe by the end of the eight episodes.
I'm rooting for Medusa's hair to grow back, and I just don't think it's going to happen in the five episodes that we have left. Haley, last thoughts.
I almost wish I kind of hate this story structure, but they had started the story with them on Earth and then flashed back to how they ended up here, because this part of the story is working so much better than the first two episodes did. That I wish this had been how we started.
That's an interesting way to go. Again, Marvel, we have some ladies here. They are available for your creative story making. Just contact me and I will just take a little bit of cut, 50-60% off the top.
The finder's fee.
Yeah, exactly. So, Lauren, what are your last thoughts?
I agree so far with everything that Michelle and Haley have said. Karnak and Lockjaw are great. This episode was a vast improvement. I still think it has a lot of weak points, but that's kind of just left over from their limitations of the first few episodes. If they had started with them on Earth and just kind of wacky fun hijinks of fish out of water and stuff, I think we would have been seeing much different reviews. And if it had been more of a mystery of how they got here and then we find out slowly what happened, I think we would have cared a lot more about these characters and been much more invested in the fact that this had been taken over. I think the first, especially the very first episode, was a huge misstep, but this was more in the right direction in getting us back on track.
I just thought of a great one shot. Medusa's hair while it's growing back with Baby Groot.
Medusa's hair on Baby Groot. Like, as a toupee, and they're just hanging out and having fun.
I keep having this thought every time we see Medusa, like, oh, her hair is gone, her hair is gone. Like, Maximus didn't shave me everywhere. Bush attack!
I mean, that's true, though. I mean,
I can't help thinking it every single time.
I mean, does it count for, like, armpit hair or leg hair?
Exactly.
That's hair. That would be amazing.
He's writing down an edit point right now. I can see it.
I feel like if I say something, I'm just not going to win. So I'm not going to say anything either way here.
If this was on Stars, it would be a completely different show.
Oh, wow.
And Black Bolt would be a very happy man.
Oh, that reminds me about a thing that I saw postulating that female elves have tentacles in Lord of the Rings. But anyway.
That's a topic for a different podcast.
Yeah.
I was just writing down the hashtag for when I released this episode on Twitter.
Hashtag Bush Attack.
Yes.
You have to.
That's written down. I got it right here. Not lying. It's right here.
Yes.
All right. So with that, the next time we get together, two of us, Lauren and I, will be discussing The Defenders Episode 2, Mean Right Hook, with consultant, or actually Agent 2099. He'll be joining us. That is because we're going to lose the two ladies with us for an episode or two due to real life stuff and the fact that CW is starting up next week as well. So we will be back here next week with The Inhumans, Season 1, Episode 4, Make Way for Medusa, talking about Bush Attack. And that will be awesome. That will be next Sunday, the 15th of October at 1 p.m. Eastern on Geeks.live. Talking about Geeks.live, that's part of the GoodAGeek.com network. And Lauren, what else can people find on the GoodAGeek network?
Well, you can find the Digital Soup podcast. The latest one is episode 41, Going Against the Grain, with special guest, and I apologize for this pronunciation, which I know is probably wrong, Cody Preeb. Preeby? Joining us this week to geek out is a very special guest from the Against the Grain podcast, Mr. Cody Preeb. We talk about the iPhone 8 Plus and its photo capabilities, classic gaming with the Commodore 64, sea cleaner, not so clean, and getting worse, and of course, some movie fun talk, including Nightwing, X-Men Dark Phoenix, and of course, the Terminator news.
Once again, you can find that at the Gunna Geek Network, found at GunnaGeek.com.
All right, first up, we've got some news out of New York Comic Con. The first story, we didn't really know how to figure this one out when we were talking about it before the show, but Marvel has canceled a planned comic crossover they had with the defense contractor Northrop Grumman.
Yeah, it was announced on a Friday morning, and by Friday evening had been canceled. The official statement from Marvel: the activation with Northrop Grumman at New York Comic Con was meant to focus on aerospace technology and exploration in a positive way. However, as the spirit of that intent has not come across, we will not be proceeding with this partnership, including this weekend's event programming. Marvel and Northrop Grumman continue to be committed to elevating and introducing STEM to a broad audience. So the issue was that when they announced this, Northrop Grumman, they do like aerospace stuff, intelligence stuff, but they are also the world's fifth largest defense contractor last year. And a comic was going to be sold at the booth that featured basically kids from Northrop Grumman teaming up with the Avengers. And it was actually available on Thursday on Marvel Unlimited. a lot of the criticism that I saw was, hey, remember that Tony Stark stopped selling his weapons to the military after realizing he was contributing to a global crisis? And this event contradicts that whole thing. And that it was just kind of tone deaf, given the current discussion of weapons and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's a complicated issue. And I think it was kind of in bad taste. However, I do agree that Marvel, like, yay, promote science and stuff. This might have been the wrong way to go about it and very much the wrong time.
If they would have partnered up with Elon Musk, with Tesla or SpaceX, would have been an entirely different conversation, I think.
Yeah, agreed.
That's true. And also, if it hadn't come, what, a week and a half after a mass shooting, I think that would have changed the tone of this announcement as well.
Or NASA. NASA would have been cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but NASA probably doesn't have as much money to throw at them as Northrop Grumman.
True.
That's true.
Yeah, it was not the only Marvel drama to come out of New York Comic Con.
Right. I feel like we've heard this type of story a lot in the last year. A New York Comic Con retailers event turned ugly with some complaints about diversity.
Yeah, it was on, I think, Thursday morning. And according to Bleeding Cool, the retailer's Q&A went really well for a little bit. And then one retailer kept going on with his objections, because he started off talking about the ordering process for some of the Marvel lenticular covers. And then he kept going and soon brought up the fact that Marvel now had female versions of characters. And then a bunch of the retailers started going on with that. And then two older retailers started raising their voices, arguing about diversity and how it doesn't work. And slurs were thrown out. And Marvel editor Nick Lowe tried to get everyone to calm down and said that Marvel tries to tell a story for everyone and that the old heroes aren't going anywhere, but neither are the new ones, and there's room for everyone. And when everything didn't calm down, Marvel senior vice president of sales, David Gabriel, said he would give out his email address to any retailer who still had concerns, and then everyone got kicked out of the room. So I'm proud of Marvel that they tried to calm it down and that they, you know, weren't like backing down on it. Because one of the things that I have liked about Marvel is that, yes, their stories are for everyone. They bring in, you know, they were one of the first things that I ever saw that didn't have just the token woman on the team when I was a kid. And they had people from everywhere. And now, you know, they have just all these characters, you know, gay, straight, gender fluid, trans, whatever. All sorts of cultures, male, female, old, young, disabled. I mean, Hawkeye canonically has hearing aids. Daredevil's blind, stuff like that. But you have those people who are resistant to seeing people who are not them. And it's just really annoying. Like, guys, come on, people, seriously. And the fact that slurs were thrown out, I mean, never acceptable. But in happier news.
Right? All right. So we've been speculating for months now. We finally have a release date for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 5. And it's coming on Friday, December 1st with a 2-hour premiere.
Yes. And also, Natalia Cordova-Buckley, Yo-Yo, has been upgraded to a series regular, which we were kind of talking about last time with the poster of her on the poster with the rest of the group.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's confirmed.
Yep.
Hooray, Yo-Yo.
I think it's interesting that they're not bringing it back in 2018. They're bringing it back in 2017, but they're not starting immediately after Inhumans ends. They're taking about a month between the end of Inhumans and the start of this, which makes me think maybe they want to give everyone time to go see Thor Ragnarok because this is going to tie in somehow.
I know I've read reports that the Kree is going to make an appearance in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, they are in space.
Yep.
That they're actually supposed to be fighting the Kree.
That would be cool.
Which I hope that's true.
Yeah, we just had a Starpie shared with us this morning an article that had a lot more details about what plot points are supposed to be coming, which we probably won't really cover because we usually try to avoid that much detail on things that aren't released yet. But I could see how a lot of those things might tie into events of Thor Ragnarok.
That plus they probably don't want to compete with the Justice League and Thor Ragnarok, as you were saying. There's just a lot of comic book movies that are coming out about that point in time. And there's the Star Wars hype that is happening as well with Rebels. And it's just a lot for Disney in one specific period of time. So I can see them pulling back a little bit.
I don't really feel like movies and TV compete with each other, though.
I know.
Well, this is Friday night series now.
Yeah, people go to the movies on Fridays.
That's true.
Yeah, but people DVR it anyway. I mean, I feel like...
Yeah, I do the bulk of my TV watching on, like, Saturday morning.
Yeah, like, I live tweet, which means I'm actually watching live television. I know, Lauren, you live tweet, so you're actually watching things live. But I feel like people like Lauren and me are... that we're few and far between now, because a lot of people just DVR stuff or they watch it on... like Hulu or an app the following day, because it's very much, I know people who, like, they'll watch it on that night, but they watch it delayed so they can fast forward through the commercial. So they're not technically watching it live. They're watching it that night, but they start like a half hour later so they can fast forward through stuff. So to use the whole films coming up, that's a little lame. And it's interesting that they would do it December 1st, because then they have the holiday break. Mm-hmm. So... they're going to do, what, 2 or 3 episodes, and then there'll be this break.
Well, and I thought maybe they just didn't want to start before Thanksgiving and then have a break come up right away, but they're going to have the same issue with Christmas.
It's a really compressed time to put an entire series in, because they want to wrap it up by May, and it's a full series, full season. So it's not a half season, it's not 13 episodes, yeah. It's more than 20. So you got to start at some point. And end some point. We were doing the math earlier on this spring, and if they started the first week of January, and if they wanted to end by Memorial Day weekend, they literally had to run every single week, and that's assuming no double episodes as well. But
no, I think we had assumed when we did that math that they did a 2-hour premiere and a 2-hour finale.
We had to.
And that was, yeah, because we were assuming they were trying to get done before Avengers, I think.
Right, and you could not... fit all the episodes in those weeks. So this gives you a little bit of breathing room, but I honestly think they're still going to have to go through every week except for maybe March Madness and a spring break week, and that'll be it. I'll have to do the math again now that we actually have a premiere date and we know it's 2 hours to premiere to see right. What else they'd have to do between here and
but
there.
They're probably going to run episodes for 3 weeks and then have to take 2 weeks off because of Christmas and New Year's. Well, maybe not for New Year's, but at least Christmas.
I don't see him coming back until after New Year's.
Yep. But I also, looking at our schedule, I wonder if they left that gap because, again, Punisher was supposed to come out in between there, so they wanted to make sure people had time to watch Punisher.
Could be.
Who knows? But another series that we talked about last week is coming up is Runaways, and there is a new trailer for that.
Yes, it was released at New York Comic Con, and it's not like, I think the last one that we talked about was somebody grabbed it. Just recorded it with their camera. This one is the actual trailer, and it looks so good. I am so excited. You guys, I am super excited.
This one looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the comics, and oh, it's just...
I think Lauren might vibrate herself apart if we don't move on to the next thing, because she's so excited about the Runaways. You know, I know how I can add to this. Hey, Lauren, did you see the trailer to Pacific Rim number 2?
Yeah, only several times and then stopping every now and then to like look and see what I could point out in the trailer.
I hear you're launching your own podcast to take the trailer second by second.
If I had the time, that would be fun. Just go second by second on movie trailers and then just like make up wild theories about what's going on. Things that are just absolutely not grounded in reality.
You should absolutely start this podcast for like tons of different trailers and you could call it Trailer Trash.
Why am I not doing this? Lauren makes up stuff about movie trailers. Why am I not doing this?
Would be an excellent podcast. I think you have your calling now, Lauren. With that, I think that's it for the news for this week. So we're going to move in to the feedback.
We have some Twitter feedback this week. First, we have some feedback from Andy Migna. Well, at least the third episode of Inhumans was a bit better than the pilot. And as you just heard, we very much agreed with you. We also have from Adadonna Girl, in reply to the thing about Yo-Yo becoming a regular, how long until Marvel decides to put a ring on it? And then in her actual tweet, she has the single ladies dance gif, which I am now watching again.
It'd be so cool. We deserve an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wedding.
That would be great. They finally need something happy.
Indeed.
And we have a voicemail.
Oh, we do. Adam sent one in, and here we go.
Hey, guys, it's Adam calling in with feedback for this week's Inhumans, and still a mixed bag. The fight scene with Gorgon was a bit better than the fight scenes in the original episode, but still not up to the standards of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. As for the rest of it, the plot doesn't really seem to be going anywhere. Black Bolt was in and then out of prison and met another Inhuman with very similar powers to Joey, which, you know, I kind of wish they would have talked to avoid conflicts like that. And then Karnak's whole thing confirming that his powers are screwed up, which is disappointing because he was the most entertaining character for me in the pilot. And then Medusa's whole thing with breaking into a house that has its own gate, but apparently not its own security system. I mean, yeah, now she stands out a little less and has resources, but then immediately holds Marvel Felicity hostage, so yeah. And, I guess that's it. Hope things get better, but we'll just have to wait and see. Talk to you later. Bye.
Marvel Felicity.
I kind of thought the same thing when I saw her.
She really does look like... But, yeah, in regards to the powers being very similar... So I don't know if any of y'all watch or read this anime or manga called JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Starting with the third arc of it, everybody gets these powers called stands. And it's like this thing manifested from your soul and it gives you weird powers. The thing is that after a while, the creator has admitted that he's been having problems thinking of new powers. And it really shows. Like one of the characters has like buzzsaw fingernails. And so unfortunately you're going to get that problem with like Inhumans and mutants too. There's only so many times that you can come up with something new and original. Other than that, you're going to come back to, because remember when they were like, oh, I like flyers. So you kind of get the feeling that there's certain types of powers that are repeated.
I mean, in the comics, they had this problem a lot in the 90s when there was like the boom of mutant characters, and you got some really lame mutants.
Yeah.
It's also, you know, origin stories are hard. That's why Stan Lee invented mutants, because he was like, oh, they could all just have the same story.
How come Black Bolt just doesn't write a note?
Yeah, did nobody teach him to write?
I assume he's illiterate.
That's part of his powers. Now he can't read.
He can like- only do, like, four hand gestures.
That only Medusa knows, that apparently everybody else was just too lazy to learn.
Right? It's, oh my God, just
to learn how to listen to their king.
I know. It's, that's a part of Medusa I don't like, how she's like the Sigourney Weaver character from Galaxy Quest.
Yep.
That really annoys me.
It's like, guys, come on. Even I know some ASL. It's not hard to learn.
I think they're in space. And they just, by the time they got into space, they couldn't take pens into space because pens weren't invented yet. So they just forgot how to write.
They read that Facebook meme about Russian pens in space. So they were like, oh, I guess we can't use a pen.
Oh, come on. Crystal has her own Beats by Dre that, you know, and that she's listening to something, probably bootleg music.
They can create their own like technology and they can't use a pencil. They can't burn a piece of something and use the carbon to write a thing.
I'm assuming she's actually listening to a Zune, since we know only Zunes made it up into space.
Yeah, I mean, why isn't he texting? Why isn't
Their fancy phones don't have a texting feature.
Medusa can read, presumably. So, did they just not bother teaching him to write?
Well, no, they obviously don't know how to use things like keyboards and stuff because she got to the ATM and was just yelling at it. So that's the problem, is their entire society built up around, like, voice-controlled items, and they never invented the keyboard.
Oh my god, that might actually be true.
Alrighty! No keyboards in space.
It's like there's no underwear in space, according to George Lucas. There's no keyboards in space, according to Inhumans.
And, like, they don't even have the excuse that astronauts would have, which is they're wearing those big bulky gloves and it was hard to use. No, they've got a dome. Stupid Inhumans.
And with that, we're going to transition out. And by prior agreement, we're going to fail on our table kick this one out. I want to thank everybody that has gotten back to us, especially after last episode that we did on Inhumans. We really appreciate your feedback and we want to keep it coming in, how you're liking the Inhumans, how your thoughts are on the coverage of Inhumans. We want to know. And thank you very much for downloading or watching this podcast. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for getting a hold of us, for listening. Everybody who shows up on Twitter, I was not able to live tweet this past week because we decided to go see Blade Runner, which was, by the way, really, really good. But anyway, yeah, other than that, I will be live tweeting other episodes. And thank you for everybody who shows up during the live tweets or live tweets their own. We love hearing from you. We love hearing your opinions. And you guys make doing this show very worthwhile. We love you guys.
Yeah, thank you to everyone that's going to send some hate mail for my inappropriate comments this week. It's very early, and I'm a little punchy, and I apologize, but you can just direct all of that to SP. All of that hate mail can just go straight to him.
StargatePioneer@GunnaGeek.com, and I will forward that over to Haley. Yeah, I will give Haley
and I will delete it.
I will give Haley a pass because she's not ready for the trip she's about to take this weekend. She's a little testy from that. Mm-hmm. Don't rush her. Michelle, thank you very much for joining us for this next wonderful episode of Inhumans. I think it was better because you were here.
Oh, thanks. I know watching the episode was made better by Born to Eat Bacon. I was live tweeting this and Born to Eat Bacon and I ended up having this back and forth throughout the entire episode. Thanks, Born to Eat Bacon, for making the Inhumans a little bit more tolerable.
I'm talking about Born to Eat Bacon, he has some paracord, a bracelet, and he insisted on one being sent to you. So it's in the mail as we speak and this podcast. So thank you very much, Born to Eat Bacon, for your nice Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. swag.
Seriously, they're really cool. And as we've talked before, my cat really likes using this one, the monkey paw, like, keychain thing as a cat toy because I've been playing with it when I'm just sitting here doing nothing. So you really do need to get into making like survival cat toys.
It's all about the survival and it's all about the cats on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. because indeed. I'm the only one that doesn't have one.
Yep.
Get one.
Aww, get a kitty.
And with that, as SP is catless, until next time, I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
See y'all next Thursday. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit LegendsOfShield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
see what National Day calendar we have here.
It is National Octopus Day.
No way.
I don't see that. I have a National Pierogi Day, but it's you. Okay, I'll look that up. National Octopus Day.
At least according to, yes, International Octopus Day.
International.
And kicks off International Cephalopod Awareness Days.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, I had to retweet that on Twitter because I love octopodes.
Sweet. Well, I usually just look at the national day calendar, but I do realize there are international days too.
Because Hawaii does have octopodes, and I saw one while snorkeling, I would appreciate it if we could do International Octopus Day.
Yeah, no problem. I put it in the show notes already.
Yes.
Yay.
I like how Haley has put all these show notes together before the Inhumans start. So every show notes, I have to go in and add Marvel's Inhumans, and I don't want to.
Also, my archery glove got here.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm just trying to break it in.
Was this the one that was made by your friend?
No. This is the one that I was thinking of making one, but then I'm like, no, I can actually get nerve damage in my fingertips.
Yeah.
So, hey, Haley.
Hey.
So I actually bought it. And now because the leather's still kind of stiff, I'm putting my hand in here and trying to work it out for a while every day.
What type of bow do you use?
Recurve. It's a Samick Sage takedown.
Cool.
Yeah. I was going to go to archery practice yesterday, but I woke up late. And by the time I got a hold of the guy, I was like, hey, are you still there? He's like, no, lawn services got here and we had to leave. So I think I'm just going to get there's a indoor archery range a couple of suburbs down from me. So I think I'm just going to get a monthly package and just go shoot down there whenever I feel like it. Because it's what is it? It's $35 a month for the monthly fee. And it's $15 an hour otherwise.
Is everybody recording?
Yes. No.
Yes.
No, I am.
Shell's confirmed.
Check. That's probably all right.
You were really low when I was editing a couple weeks ago.
I hit the thing with my chair the other day, and I think I bumped all the knobs. So I noticed that when I was recording too.
It was actually just last week. It was 2:05.
Yeah, it's probably been that way for a few.
Okay.
But I think that should be better now.
Okay.
I need to get some 6-foot cable so I can move the recorder over farther.
Cables everywhere.
Seriously.
I just did an Amazon order too. That's obnoxious.
I know.
Right. I think the people at my apartment office hate me because I think I've gotten an Amazon order every day for the past 2 weeks. Because I'm just like, ooh, a thing I'm going to order. And I'm working on a Halloween / Ren Faire costume. So I'm just parts are just coming in piecemeal. And then
I just ordered my mask yesterday. So that should be coming in tomorrow.
I need to get a new dress. The one I ordered doesn't fit or it's too big. And yeah.
The time's ticking.
Yeah, I'm aware. Don't rush me.
I'm not rushing you. You're leaving Thursday, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't rush me.
Nice show, ladies. Bush attack. I'm glad you said that, not me.
I'm glad I said it too. I regret nothing.
Oh, God.
Any last words before we get going?
Bush attack.
He didn't invite.
I'm just going to be yelling that all week, you guys.
No, wait until you watch the next episode. And every time she's in a fight scene, you're going to be like, Bush attack.
I wonder if they've addressed this at all.
I don't know.
There must be at least some fan fiction somewhere or some fan art.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, what I'm finding is, does Medusa have snake for pubes? but that's the wrong Medusa.
Okay, I don't know. That would be uncomfortable, I would think.
Right? Like, you know what's really uncomfortable, though? Do those snakes have to eat?
I don't know.
Like, feeding just a mouse up there every so often.
I mean, does she grow new hair because the snakes that are already there lay eggs?
Where do they lay eggs from?
There's just, the whole thing is problematic.
Yeah, like, these are the things that I need to know. Hold on, I'm going to ask Tumblr.
You know what's going to come out when you ask Tumblr?
Oh, gosh. That's dangerous.
It was a great show. Thank you very much, ladies. And Lauren, I'll see you Thursday. And the rest of you, I'll see you when you can make it back.
Okay.
Yep. All right.
Okay. Bye.
Later. Bye. Push attack!
Broadcast has been successfully terminated.
Woo!
Yeehaw!
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.